I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Manchu or what?
No, I hate mustaches. They make me feel weird.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
I'm Aiden.
We got Aiden back in the house.
I mean, we're excited to have a guest this week. We haven't had one in a while. It's been a little while,
yeah.
Last guest was Dad.
Yeah, that was the last one.
Yeah, sure enough.
Yeah. Brother John's going to say a quick little prayer and we'll get started.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this opportunity, for allowing us to be here, to just take a few minutes to recognize you, to talk about you, to talk about life with you. And we just ask that you control the space, control our thoughts and our words, and allow us to say what it is that needs to be said today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, what's it been about 8 months since last time you were on the show, Aiden? It's been a while. It's been a very long while.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I can't even remember the last time. It was well before episode 52, which was the counting of a year, and we just crossed 83, so half a year right there. So it's roughly 7 months-ish. So where you been? How you been? The world wants to know how you been.
Living and growing up.
Getting older, yeah. That's all of us.
How old are you now?
25, about to be 26.
Damn. Yeah. I don't want to go back there because I did a lot of stupid stuff.
Yeah.
If I knew what I know now.
Could change a whole lot, too.
Single young man, I don't do nothing.
We had it a good times back in the 90s and early 2000s. Brother Jason just got back from a trip, so he's a little tired.
Yeah.
I can't call it a cannonball run. You were there for a few days.
Yeah, I was there for 5 days, 4 nights.
That's a long time to be in Vegas, man.
Yeah, it is. It's a very, very long time. Like I said, I think I drank enough to sink the Titanic.
It's
pretty brutal.
I imagine. I'm sure you didn't feel too good, especially after the fact, like as you're going away from that and like getting back to normal, you're just like,
yeah,
your whole coming mind home, and body hasn't reset yet.
Coming home yesterday was like, holy crap.
Yeah. What time did y'all leave yesterday?
We left the hotel at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
In the morning?
Yeah. And then our flight was at 8, which glad we did when we, you know, got there when we did, because dude, the line was freaking forever long.
Really?
Dude, it was
that early in the morning,
dude,
to go out to Amarillo? Was it a direct flight?
Yeah. Yep.
That many people leaving Vegas to go to Amarillo, huh?
No, it was just the TSA. I mean, there was...
Oh, the TSA check.
The TSA, man. Everything was just insane.
That stuff can be crazy.
I just don't. I was over it.
I don't know We did international travel one time.
Malta, huh?
Yeah, Malta. Ton of fun flying, being on an airplane for 14 hours. I'm not like scared of flying, but I'm a little uneasy, especially up there that long. You know what I mean? And look, I know all the statistics and all that kind of stuff. It's really not very common that planes come down, but the longer you're up there, the more you're like,
yeah,
anything can happen.
The higher probability.
Yeah, that's how it feels. You know what I mean? But it is the best way to travel, that's for sure.
Yeah. Do you remember what all you flew over going to Malta?
So we flew from here to Denver, and then we stayed in Denver for quite a while before we – it was like a six-hour layover before we got on the plane, on the Lufthansa flight. I say Lufthansa. Anybody ever watch Goodfellas?
No. Joseph would understand.
Okay, so the Lufthansa heist, the biggest heist in history up to that point was a Lufthansa plane where the mob basically robbed this plane. It was like $3 million or whatever. It was a big amount of money. And they did it without a shot being fired, no guns. So really? Anyway, you'd have to go watch Goodfellas. It's a great watch anyway. But
is it true?
That is absolutely true. It is a fact. But anyway, the plane is the size of a hotel. I mean, it was crazy. I don't have the pictures anymore. They're lost somewhere in digital space, cyberspace. The plane we got on looked like a freaking Hot Wheel from here to Denver. Yeah. And then the plane we got on to go to Germany, we flew from here to Frankfurt, Germany, was 100 times the size it looked like to me. I mean, the thing that comes out to the plane?
Yeah.
The little tunnel or whatever? Yeah. On the plane we left here on to go to Denver, it was like folded over to the door.
Yeah.
The one we left to go to Germany on, it was like up to the door. It was that big. It was humongous. There was third level. It was baggage, passenger, and then there was another level up here where the pilots were, and there was, I'm assuming, first class. There were stairs and all that. And we were in the air for 14 hours. We flew from Denver. We went north and like went up over New York, all the states north and east, right, from Denver over New York. It was Iceland. It was Greenland. It was like that. We've talked about this before, the arc to it. And we flew over the top of Germany. It's like northeast of Frankfurt's like northeast of London, so we flew over that. We flew over Ireland. We landed in Frankfurt, Germany. It was 14 hours. I was exhausted. I can't sleep on a plane. Like I said, I'm not scared of flying, but I'm like a little uneasy. Feel a little anxious about what we're doing here. You know what I mean? So like everybody around me's out. I'm sitting over here like, you know, I can't.
Oh yeah, all I need is something to lean my head on. I can sleep anywhere.
Yeah, I couldn't do it, man. Every little bump would make me, you know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't until that last leg.
For everybody that can't see, he's doing like the crack shack shake.
The crack shack shake.
You know, like the twitch, like right before one of them goes to try to lick their own ear.
Jeez. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And then when we landed in Frankfurt, we were there a couple hours. And I slept a little bit sitting there waiting. And then we got on the last little flight to Malta. I've told you about the scene that I saw, that little mountain valley. It had to be over like the Swiss Alps, or we were flying through mountains. And there was like this two little mountain ranges and this valley where this little picturesque, like it was, there's the sun's peeking through, and it's just like, I'm looking out the window at this going, dude, I want to go. Where's that? Yeah. I want to go there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Of course, I'd go there and it'd be like some Hills Have Eyes stuff or whatever. Oh, you know what I mean? Oh. But we flew out there. And then so coming out that, you have to go over Italy and all that kind of stuff. And then because Malta's due south of Italy.
Yeah.
And we saw we went, I believe it was in March. Right. So it's technically it's not warm yet, you know what I mean? But the spring, the ice caps are melting, things are melting, you know, the icebergs are melting. And as we're going into land in Malta, we...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
See, I see these. I thought it was wave caps. You know how the waves, like, yeah. It looks white? It was chunks of ice in the water, in the ocean, as we're coming down towards Malta. Like, we were too high up for me to tell, but I would imagine they were the size of this table, just chunks of white spots everywhere. I just assumed it was wave caps, but it was actually ice. Huh. Chunks of ice out there. Pretty crazy. Landing in Malta was really interesting because it looked like we were about to drop down into water. It was like water, 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 ground.
Yeah.
It was what? That was pretty wild.
That's how it is when you fly into like St. Lucia and the Bahamas and stuff.
Yeah.
Too. Like,
little bitty islands.
Like you're sitting there just looking down. Like you're just sitting there like, oh, like all you see is water and you can like you can see stuff moving around in the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
All of a sudden it's like there's the runway. Like, oh.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, St. Lucia's not a little. I mean, it's small, but it's not that small.
I think Malta, roughly, the main island of Malta, is probably half the size of the big island in Hawaii. It's not as big as the main island in Hawaii. It's about half of that. But it's big enough landmass that it's miles. You know what I mean? It's not like you're going to miss it in an airplane. But it was a little freaky coming in there because, again, like you said, it's like all you can see is water. I'm like, bro, when's the land going to come into play? You know,
it's a 2-hour bus ride from the airport to the resort, but it's a 30-minute helicopter ride.
That would have been fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never flown before. I'll pass on that.
You don't want to fly?
You don't want to fly ever on a plane or nothing?
I mean, I'd like to go places where you have to fly, but I don't know if I can do it. I'd have to be on drugs or something.
That's another one. He's got to take Xanax before he can get on a plane.
Yeah, I think I'd have to do the same.
I you know, again, it's like I've flown a lot. I flew a lot when I was young because I was how I got to see my dad when I did have chances. So, like, I'm like 6 on an airplane. I remember they used to give us the little wings.
Yeah.
When I would fly by myself and stuff, and the
lady would come follow you.
Yeah, stewardess would follow you everywhere. And like when you get off the plane, they make sure you get to somebody. They don't give a damn now more. You're on and off. They don't care.
Yeah.
Get off this plane.
Yeah, I had one follow me around, take me to go eat. When I flew to Minneapolis when I was a kid. I had like a long layover and wherever it was, but. She like took me to this little restaurant and they gave them a coupon and they brought me a meal, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm eating and this lady's like watching me, you know, and I'm just like, oh, dude, what's going on here?
Why are you watching me?
Yeah. Get away from me.
That's crazy. But yeah. That's a long time to fly. It's a long time to be in the air. 14 hours. We just had a group that went to Jordan and they were talking about, it's like 18 hours.
From church?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a the guy I play guitar with.
That's a scary place to go right now.
Everything was peaceful.
Huh. You couldn't make me go over there right now.
No?
Snowball's chance, dude.
I'd do it. You do have to be caught. The way they explained it to us is like, it is basically Muslim, but they're friendly to Americans and they're friendly to Christians, but you got to be careful. Like you can't, there's certain places you can't just go and be preaching the gospel, right? You can do things though. And they had things set up. There's people there that are coordinating things and they were going to people's homes and basically they're there to teach them how to like have a study and have a group to study and like what to do and that kind of stuff. And really just to form relationships with people, man, that's really all it's about. And it was a group of 6 or 7 adults and at least one kid who was 12, 11 or 12. Like he's junior high-ish age, which he's the son of the woman that leads the missions part of our church. And that was the first time they were able to take him. They felt like he was old enough to go. And he got to help entertain the kids and teach with the kids and talk to the kids and stuff like that. So pretty cool. It's cool to hear the stories, the life change, and I can only imagine, regardless, besides the life change that happens to the people that they interact with, the life change that happens to you,
yeah,
it doing something like that. Now, it's a risk. Going to anywhere in the Middle East right now is a...
They like to cut people's heads off.
White boy.
Yeah, I was like, being white would be a bigger problem there.
Yeah. So, anyway.
He said they like to cut people's heads off.
I do, man. Dudes are crazy.
The extremes ones, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, and then you can watch your body sitting over there twitching. I mean... I'm not really afraid to have my head cut off, but I don't want to watch myself die. Like, look at the hole where my neck used to be, you know?
Right.
You pulled this up for a reason.
Well, it's something that came up on Saturday or Sunday, and it just was something I was thinking about. I don't even really know why. There's this thing that happens in Acts chapter 16 where Paul and another disciple, Silas, they cast a demon out of somebody and then they get thrown in prison because they're preaching the gospel. And while they're in, this is two times I know of that are recorded in the Bible where something crazy happens while they're in prison. Peter was another one where they're in prison. And like all of a sudden something like an earthquake comes, or it's actually an angel who comes. It basically sets them free, like looses the chains, opens the doors, just walk on out. And I was thinking about it and I thought it was Peter, but it wasn't Peter. But in Paul's case, something happens like that. They're in prison and whoever the king was, I don't remember. I could read through it, but it's not necessary. Has the guards like make sure they don't get loose, and same thing happens. Something crazy happens. Chains are loose. Doors are just wide open. All the prisoners, not just Paul and Silas, all the prisoners could just be set free. And the guard is like, he's gonna kill himself. Basically, he's like, I know what's about to happen to me. And I thought it was very interesting because they didn't leave. They stayed in the prison instead of leaving. And so I started working through this in my mind. So what happened in the story was instead of leaving, they stayed in the prison and they see and know that he's about to put a knife to his own neck. He's about to cut his own head off. He's going to kill himself. And they're like, hey, stop. We're here. We're here. We didn't even leave. We're here. Doors are open, but we're here. And after that, the jailer goes to him and is like, wants to know about this good news.
Yeah.
And they preach and him and his family are baptized and that whole thing happens. And I was thinking about the prison and why they didn't just leave. You know what I mean? Because ultimately their life was in danger being in that prison. And I was thinking about in our lives, like not a literal prison, but how we like are in chains of our own, and
like the stuff that we're doing, our lives are in jeopardy and we're still like hanging out there.
However, but we're free from it already is what I was getting at. Like we're already free, but we choose to stay. And sometimes I think it's not necessarily that we chose to stay. It's that God kept us there for the benefit of somebody else.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? What I'm talking about? I don't know. It just...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Was something that I was thinking about over the weekend, and I was like, me, if I'm Paul in that situation, like, you know your life's in danger, period. Like, heads are going to come off, right? Yeah. And God has set you free and given you the ability to just walk away from everything.
Yeah.
That's not my problem.
Or it seems like he kind of gave him a choice. They can choose to save themselves or save this dude from killing himself.
Right.
And ultimately made him a believer. So.
And not only that, saved that man's entire family. Yeah. And so what I was thinking is
they probably would have killed his entire family. They probably would have killed everybody that he was close to.
So what I was thinking was that, and I was like, man, that'll preach. And I was thinking that, you know, sometimes God sets us free from things but allows us to stay in the prison. Not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of others.
Yeah.
We're actually, and look, that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Don't let me start saying stupid stuff, but it's like somebody who struggled with alcoholism gets set free from the alcoholism, but continues to hang out at the bar.
Yeah.
They're not participating in the alcoholism or in the thing that sets them, that they're chained to, but they're, because they're set free from it, but they're still there. Does that make sense? And there's a purpose behind being there. And some people will just examine the fact that they're there and judge them for that. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know. Jesus got judged for being in Matthew's house, the disciple Matthew, the apostle Matthew, you know, because why? Tax collector.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It just, I don't know. It was something that came up, it came into my mind, and I thought it was interesting what I was thinking about. I didn't know if it would be something worth talking about for sure, because I don't know what anybody else thinks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not going to use my analogy. It's a little.
Is it too harsh?
It's pretty harsh.
And then there was Sunday, there was at church, there was a guest speaker, and he was talking about, he said something that broke my heart, but it was also encouraging. And he said, there's no reason that you should leave this place and be the same as you were when you got here. And I understood what he was saying, because he, as a pastor, as somebody who's pastoring a congregation, a pastor that's pastoring people, you witness people, you see them, and you see these people that you're pouring into, and you see them stay exactly the same.
Yeah.
And how frustrating it is, and how discouraging it is. You question yourself. It's no different than what we do here, right? Like, you question that, because it's like, who's it helping?
Yeah.
Right? Who's it helping? Whose life is being changed? And it reminded me of the way the Bible reads. I don't know if you remember this. One time we were reading Colossians or Galatians. I don't remember. And he's going through this whole list of bad, like what sin does. Essentially, the wages of sin is death. And then it gets to a sentence and it says, but thank God. And goes on to tell you what Christ did,
yeah,
right, to pay all of that. And it's like, the bad news is, as people, and as people that we try to, the people we try to shepherd, and the flock that we try to shepherd, that's not our responsibility. But at the same time, like, Christ paid the debt already. Doesn't mean they should do all these things. I'm just saying, like, the discouragement isn't ours. We shouldn't be discouraged because that person isn't showing evidence of change. The truth of the matter is change takes time.
AKA people are stubborn as hell.
Don't you think God knew that, though?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you that people are stubborn. And, you know, I mean, I always hear in movies, like, people don't change, which, I mean, I think in a way some people, they do. Maybe you won't change completely, but something will be different.
I guess the thing is like, the reason it's discouraging, it's like, and you and I have talked about it before, about, like, going in there and just taking what you got and leaving it right there in the chair next to you and walking away from it. You know what I mean? It's happened to me. It's happened to you. It's happened to all of us. And it's like, man, there's this encouraging thing, this thing that could change my heart. But instead of taking it with me, I'm just going to leave it right there. Most of the time, that's in an uncomfortable place. It's an uncomfortable thing, right? We're willing to go so far in our discomfort, and then it's like, okay, that's too far.
Yeah.
I'm not going any further than right here.
Well, if it's that uncomfortable, most of the time I won't even reach for it. I'll just let it go right over me.
Just leave it on. Just let it go.
I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to pretend I'm going to grasp onto any of it.
Yeah. Why? Why is that? And it's not just you. I'm not just asking you. I'm just like, why is that? Why do we do that? Because truthfully, that's damaging to us. Like, it's damaging us. We're allowing ourselves to be damaged, and we're allowing ourselves to stay in that rather than accept and receive change and receive something better.
Yeah.
Why do we do that?
Well, I think, in my opinion or in my experience, I think most people nowadays are just in survival mode. People aren't comfortable with change because they've got comfortable with what they're just surviving on. And of course, everyone wants a better thing. No one wants shit to be worse. So they just I would say they're content with the bad too.
If it's surviving. If it's even somewhat good, we're good right there.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people have been hurt by reaching
by going a little further,
trying to go a little too far. And once that happens, usually they go into survival mode because there's been some past trauma.
I've heard this quote from a movie, and I think it's pretty negative to live by. But it's like, expect the worst and you'll never be disappointed. And it's like, you're just kind of living negatively then, I think. I mean, I get it. I mean, it ain't going to work out anyway, so why care?
Yeah. Well, the idea
that's a bitter person.
For sure. Well, but the thing is like, we're all one step away from that. We're all one interaction away from becoming that bitter thing and that bitter person. You know, getting your heart broke one time sometimes can take you to the furthest end. You know what I mean? What's up?
What's this you got here?
I'll talk to you.
Yeah, I was looking at you. I was like, what am I reading?
Yeah, I'm like,
okay,
what?
Okay, I actually talked. Okay, I'll play this. I want to play this video for you, and it's a commercial. It's a commercial for Allstate, and this was actually a Super Bowl commercial. And I brought it up a couple of times before, but I couldn't find it. And today I was able to find it. So the thing is before I press play, I want you to imagine the guy that's playing Mayhem. The guy that's playing Mayhem. Imagine that he's the devil. And just listen to it.
Okay.
I'm the voice inside your head.
And while you're typically athletic,
right now, you're pathetic. Rick, and once you start listening to me, it's going to be hard to stop. Shank.
And if you don't have the right auto coverage, the cost of this could hit you out of nowhere.
Okay, the rest of that is strictly commercial. Just listen to what the man said, right? I'm the voice inside your head.
Yeah.
And if you start listening to me, it's going to be hard to stop.
Even the way he was like creeping over his shoulder.
Shank.
Yeah. I was
like, brick.
Like, yeah.
And look, this is sports related and all that. It was a Super Bowl commercial, so obviously they're going to have that. It reminded me that, like, look, we are not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting each other. We're not fighting people at all. We're literally fighting a voice inside of our head. And I truly believe that the enemy is that voice. I truly believe that he's the one that's saying all those things. And he's taking every single thing that we're uncomfortable with, every single thing that we have doubt about in ourselves, every little thing, and he's using it as steroids to for his cause.
Let me ask this. Do you think all of it is him? Do you think any of it is not just us? I'm just curious what you think.
Yes. Yes, but it's all been motivated by him. It started with an ember, started with a splinter, right, Shank? Right.
Yeah.
It started with you're gonna blow it. You suck. You're ugly.
You got a little wiener.
Oh, God.
We all hate that.
Of course, you know, I got to be the dude.
That's all right. Hey, that's a reality for men, though. There's no doubt about that. Men think like that.
Have you ever experienced, like, where you're so concerned about messing something up and you're trying so hard not to mess it up, then you mess it up?
Yep.
Same concept.
Yeah.
It's like, I've told you that with sparring. It's like, sparring sometimes we do harder than our, like, actual matches. Because I've done a couple, like, where we're actually trying to knock each other out. And I'm so anxious and so much adrenaline. Performance is terrible. But then you get in sparring, and it's even harder and look great. Because you don't look, you're not looking at it that way. Not to mention, not everyone's watching you.
Yeah.
But yeah, you try so hard not to look like an idiot or look like a loser.
Having eyes on you. Yeah. Well, but see, the thing that I think creates and causes our doubts and amplifies our doubts is the enemy. I think we naturally have doubt because we have sinful nature, right? Because of, we've proven over and over again that we can't get it right, right? The law proved it. But at the same time, we have been equipped to conquer the enemy, right? But we allow him to motivate those thoughts. We take the little things, the little darts that he throws, and we make them much bigger. That makes sense? So we both play a role.
Right.
But I think the enemy definitely is the motivator behind all of that. And the reason that it come up is because, look, man, we're at war. We need to accept that fact.
You know, actually, you said that. You know, like, let's say a negative situation. You let one little thing get in your head, and then suddenly every thought for the next hour and a half is deeply all evil. The worst. Dark. Yeah. I don't know where it's at, or I don't remember where it's at, but I know there's some sort of scripture where Jesus says something about grasping the evil thoughts. Because it's kind of the same concept. Because once you let one of them in, you let it keep going, you don't stop. Because I think we all know there's a moment where you can, you're like, okay, I can stop these thoughts, but you choose not to. You're like, I'm screw it, I'm bitter, and then just make it 10 times worse.
Or like you, it hasn't happened, but you're like, oh, this could be happening. And then like,
watch the movie in your head.
You think it into existence, and then you're like pissed off at somebody because you think, oh, you dirty mother.
And
they're like, what'd I do?
Yeah, me and Joseph talked about that the other day. We were in his car for like an hour talking about this. Like, you ever just sit there and you like suddenly zone out and you're creating this whole scenario that didn't even happen.
Never even existed.
And then now you're pissed off at that person whatever the situation is.
Yeah, you got an attitude about it. But that also boils down to you can't spend time alone in your own head. Like you got to find somewhere to take that energy, because if you just sit alone in your own head, especially for men, I mean, it's even worse.
Yeah.
It gets dark pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's so easy. You can definitely tell when I've been by myself too long.
Right.
I'm like.
It's like that comedian. I don't know. He's this big old black dude. He's like, he says something about men. We like to be alone, but not by ourselves. Just stay over there.
Yeah.
Just be quiet
over there. You're supposed to be here, but not here. Leave me alone.
Is like the equalizer.
It's the calm.
But when I'm alone, it's just the ringing in your ears. That's when I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, and that's classic overthinking, right? Like, we all do it. We're all guilty. Listen, three men just had one split-second conversation and all had the same response, which means, in my mind, that's 1,000%, 100% of men have the same issue with that.
Yeah.
Like, we constantly doubt our value. We doubt our presence. We doubt our strength. We doubt our ability. We doubt... You know what I mean? And so every single little thing that we doubt, who do you think is going to use that against you? It's not you. Do you really want to damage you?
Sometimes I think people do, because it's comfort. You find comfort in that area. Like, you're comfortable living there. It's comfort.
Yeah.
So it goes the same for people that don't do better for themselves. Some people that just, like, they live in the ghetto, and that's what they know, and that's where they're comfortable. They don't want to do nothing to better themselves. They don't want to go get a good job. They don't want to go. I'm not saying they can't. They just don't even want to.
Or you get into your head that you can't do anything to change it.
Yeah. You know, I've been here since my dad's dad. I'm staying here. I'm raising my kids here, whatever. And it's like, yeah, but
why?
Listen, Joe, you don't have to raise them in a trailer park.
You don't have to.
And nothing against trailer parks. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes things are less fortunate for people, but sometimes it can be helped. And
look, everybody ain't going to be rich. Everybody ain't going to be. It's not going to happen.
No.
But you can still do better for your circumstances by what you have right now.
Yeah.
Some of it's choice, some of it's not. right? Like some of it's circumstance, right? We know that. If you're raised by crack dealers,
probably gonna be
stands to reason you're probably going to end up being a crack dealer too. But you don't have to. Yeah. At some point, you have a choice, right? It's not required.
Remember me telling you about some of these cults I was watching these videos about?
Yeah.
I got thinking when you said that. Like, imagine like the cartel. You know there are people that are born into that.
Oh, yeah, them dudes don't have a choice.
Yes, what I'm saying.
I guess that is a little bit different.
With cults, you know, like some of these people, they grow up in the cult, so their mind, that's all they know. The idea of anything else
It does not compute.
Yeah, there's nothing that they ever think about. But
that's a good point.
I think in a certain circumstance, yeah, you have no clue.
On some level, that's true.
That's why cults also don't let you experience the outside world. They only want you to know, or whoever the leader is, usually some crazy dude, but...
Yeah.
Some crazy perverted dude.
All kinds of dude. There's a bunch of them. Be careful what you check out.
17, 15 year old wives, and
it's just, I tell all of them, I can heal you. All you have to do is have sex with me. So I don't know if you want that word in there, but that's seriously basically the gist of what they say.
Yeah. People are strange.
What kind of influencer do you have to be to convince 200 random MFers to live with you in this compound and let you molest their kids and do all this
stuff?
That's
the point I brought up to you is, like, I can understand how a kid can fall for it or if they were born around
I've
seen a full-grown adult woman that left her husband to join a cult because the dude had her convinced he was an angel. I don't feel sorry for that woman. That to me is you're an idiot if you really fell for that. Like, and for me, I would be like, you have to show me some miracle for me to believe that.
Yeah, we have a skepticism about us. Some people are, this is it. This is it right there. Some people want it so bad. They want to see something like that so bad that they become gullible.
Bro, I do too, but I'm not.
But you ain't convincing me, let me diddle you and I'll heal you.
Yeah.
Excuse me, that's a damn word, my bad.
Yeah, all right.
But
let me say it again. I'll heal you.
Seriously, like that's what they
watch out. Like, we got the diddler in the room. We got
it. P. Diddler.
But like, I mean, think about Hitler. How did he do that?
Yeah. But, by having a silver tongue.
On top of the fear of death, but like these cults, I don't understand how you.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All for that. A full-grown adult.
The state of
LSD
the world
is, too, I guess. I've heard lots of them use drugs, and that's how they end up.
Generally speaking. Look, I guess, but again, though, you and I, we have a natural questioning in our mind. Like, okay, well, show me more.
Yeah.
I need to, you're going to have to give me something a little better than just saying it.
Some people out there just gullible, I guess. Just
some people just go for it, right? And I think that it's like, I don't know, it's... At the risk of sounding rude, it's just simple-mindedness, man. They don't think of anything more complex than just what it is right in front of them. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know. I have an analytical mind. I think of things deeper than just what I see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like we talk about, let's talk about love, right? I can say I love you. That'll work for a little while. At some point, you're going to go, you haven't proved it one time by your actions, right? Saying it isn't enough. It's what you show, right? And so, like, same thing here. At some point, I'm going to go, well, I kind of bought it at first, but now I'm starting to wonder, like, what else you got?
Yeah.
You know, same idea.
You know, actually, you say that, when you told me or asked me to come, you said bring something to talk about, and that kind of, you know, it's not necessarily anymore that I question whether or not there's God.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I believe there's a higher power for sure, but it's, you ever find yourself where you're like, I wouldn't say bitter, but sometimes you're like, I guess, yeah, you do question it, but it's more of you have kind of hateful arguments back and forth with it. You know, like, I find myself when I'm really pissed off, like, I'm, like, belittling God in a way. Like, yeah, you know what you did. You know, something like that. Not necessarily those words exactly, but do you find that to be wrong? Or, like, I guess, yeah, you shouldn't do it. The same with, like, you shouldn't do it about your parents behind their back or something unless they're, like, evil. But I find myself doing that a lot where, like, I'm having a deep argument where, like, clearly I believe in God because I'm arguing with it in my head or out loud.
You can't argue with something that's not there.
It was like, yeah, I'm not really getting an answer back, but I'm
you may be.
But I'm, it's like I'm arguing with a shadow in a sense, you know what I mean? But I'm talking as if they're listening, you know? So do you think that's wrong? Or like,
are you sharing those arguments with someone else?
No, it's just me.
It's just you and him?
Yeah.
I can't tell you the number of
intense... if you say you've never done it, you're a liar. But, like, I'm not saying, like, the F word, like, I hate you. I'm not saying things like that, but I'm sharing how angry I am.
Yeah, I just want to know, okay, dude, go read Job.
That was where my mind went, but... Yeah. He had more of a poetic way of saying things. I'm more.
You don't possess that.
Yeah,
right?
Like, I'm more of a just.
It's not your highest attribute.
We still talk like, you know.
I'm like, man, you wonder why I do this and this.
Yeah, it's because of this. You did this to me. I don't think God's afraid of your questions. I don't think God's afraid of you being upset and like not understanding. Scripture literally says, "You're not gonna." Like, my thoughts are not your thoughts. God says that. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways.
It's like, I don't believe God can be offended.
Order for you to offend him, you'd have to be, like, shocking to him.
Yeah,
and he's
that's what's, like, I don't even think you could really hurt him, like, his feelings or, like, break his heart because apparently he knows everything. You
know? It's like he can't be disappointed in you because he already knows. Like,
and, you know, that's somewhere my mind has gone. It's like, did he know the devil was going to do what he did before he was the devil, so to speak? Sure. You know, I wonder if he was shocked by that.
I think that one he was, because that's the one unforgivable. Like,
I think that, it's one of those situations we've kind of talked about it before. It's like you just know, you don't know it because it hasn't happened, but you just know. Right, I think it was kind of one of those situations. I'm sure there were signs, right? Like, and God saw something coming. He knew it was coming.
Also tweaks my mind.
Or it was part of the plan from the beginning.
Yeah, you think about, like, the whole Adam and Eve thing with the apple. Clearly the devil was there. Obviously that's after he fell, correct? Right? So I think I've talked about this before, so technically wouldn't he be the first sinner?
He was. Philip Anthony Mitchell actually talks about how the first sin was not here. It wasn't
pride,
Adam.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pride. Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Rebellion in heaven. That happened before.
Yeah. He was talking all the other angels into taking his life. We're going to overthrow this dude.
And I guess,
oh, you're not, bro. No,
he's still God.
He created you.
Well, okay. You have a father. You always agreed with me. You always agreed with the way I disciplined or why I said you couldn't do something?
I'd say I'd always agreed.
Did you ever go,
oh, I can't tell you. I'm never talking to that SOB again. And then 20 minutes later, that was completely not even a thought. You know?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, it's look, our relationship, he's a father. Our relationship's no different. Father knows best. We just don't believe it.
Fair.
Let he knows say, best.
Take the next step. Do you think you could have the same feelings about your kids if they were like a mass murderer, serial killer?
Man, I don't know. That's a serial rapist or something.
Yeah, take it a step further. They like imagine I killed Joseph, or he vice versa. It'd probably be more like vice versa, him killing me. I'm just kidding, but something of that nature, or like grandpa. You know, like obviously, I think he could do that. But do you think you personally could just wash over that, you know what I mean? I don't think I could. I would want to strangle him.
Right back me in the
well,
corner.
Hold on.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, okay. That's a good question. I think it is forgivable, but it's like it comes with time. It's going to take. You're going to have to go through the hurt and the healing. It's going to be the same way for him. Like if one of us was to murder somebody, that's his child too. It's going to be the same way for him. The shock and the awe is going to hurt him.
I'd have to imagine with humans, though, it would never be the same after that.
Okay,
still love me deep down. Like, I hope for the best, but that relationship is over.
Dude, there's people out there that their parents were serial killers, and their kids are still like,
he's my dad.
Yeah. There's instances where...
Well, I've heard the same thing about abusive parents.
So, okay. I have a weird relationship with familial bonds, like blood familial bonds. Like I don't have a ton of familial attachments, right? So I have a weird relationship with familial bonds. I actually have closer relationships with people outside of blood.
Well, same for me.
Right? Like you with your best friend John, me with Jason, right? Like those bonds are closer to me than my actual family in most senses, right? It gets different once we start talking about the family I created with my three sons, my wife, her daughters. That's right. So, yeah, it gets a little bit wonky there. You said that was a weird word. Sorry, a little weird there. I just don't have those kinds of attachments. If Grandpa hadn't come back into my life when he did and us have the relationship that we've had the last, it's almost 20 years, I wouldn't have that bond there either, right? When my mom passed away, we were not close, but it still broke my heart, right? First of all, she was entirely too young. She was only 56, right? And she was the youngest, and my grandmother, her mom, that was her youngest child, just passed away. That was hard to watch, right? So there's a lot of emotion in the room, but it's just like with you guys, specifically the three boys, right? Man, you asked me, like, first of all, I have to get over the loss before I can even remotely think about forgiving.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about, you got to go through the hurt and the...
Yeah, you got to go through the heartache.
Sorrow. But if something crazy like that were to happen...
It also depends on the circumstance, too. I mean, was it just a sheer act of cold-blooded murder?
Cold-blooded, calculated murder. But there's like... I'm not going to put names out there, but I know someone that lost basically their child, right, in an accident. In my opinion... The kid that died, okay, he's 18, but kid, it was his own fault. He got hit by a car. But the whole circumstance of why he was where he was, I think you know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That's his fault to me. The kid that hit him, another like 18-year-old, 20-year-old, something like that, he wasn't drinking. He wasn't anything like that. It was a dark road out in the middle of nowhere, and he's in the road, no reflecting kind of clothing, anything, and he got hit by him. And the... So-called mother of this child acts like this kid should be put in prison for the rest of his life for that.
Yeah.
Has no question that the kid, her son or whatever, not her son, but it's not his fault.
Sometimes that's parental arrogance too. I mean, it's, you know, you want to be protective and you want to do those things, but sometimes it takes understanding that your kids aren't perfect. You know what I mean?
Right. And like, don't get me wrong, I understand being kind of pissed, obviously being pissed off at the person that did it. But when you get all the factors in there and know how and why it happened, at some point I think you need to wake up and...
No, he wasn't out drinking, road racing, and doing all this stuff.
No, he was driving down an
innocent bystander.
A pitch black road at like midnight. Yeah. And this kid is in the middle of the road, and he gets hit. The reason why they say they think he's guilty is because after he hit the kid, he drove home to, and he said he drove home to go get his cell phone to call the cops, but he came back to the scene. For all I know, maybe he did want to run, and his parents were like, dude, you need to get your ass back there, because if you leave, that's game over for you. They let him off, right? And again, if you knew all the circumstances.
I understand that's a weird circumstance. Me, I would never have gone back to the scene if I was guilty.
I would have never gone. Purpose.
Yeah.
But if he said...
Or even if you were drunk or something like that, it was an accident, but you were clearly under the influence, I would never go back to the scene.
No, I'd take my chances.
Well, either way, once it gets found out, you're guilty either way.
Yeah, I get it.
But in this case, yeah, the kid was sober. They found nothing. You know, he just... It was this kid's fault.
Just a tough circumstance.
And it's sad because, you know, he... Apparently the reason why the kid was out there in the dark was a sad reason, but...
Yeah.
He wasn't intending on dying, I don't think.
For sure.
But, yeah, I don't. And see, that was my question. It's like, a circumstance like that, say someone accidentally hit and killed me or some sort of, you know, something happened and I ended up accidentally being killed, right? And, of course, they're sad because they didn't mean to do it. Could you forgive them and let them be at the funeral?
I think I could.
It just depends.
Would
man.
You just would you hate him if you knew it was like complete? If there was full evidence it was an accident. You
know my I mean? Initial reaction,
well, of course,
would be.
Well, yeah, you're gonna be
no.
pissed.
I would have to know that I need all the evidence first. Eee, that kind of preaches, man.
Have you?
Yeah, because you know we're not supposed to. I mean, that goes back to that. Can you forgive somebody that molested your child kind of thing? Because, you know, according to scripture,
yeah.
we are supposed to forgive. Well, we're not supposed to be the ones to judge.
Yeah. It's an old video. I'm not sure what the case is, but I believe this older fellow's daughter was assaulted and murdered by this guy. And in the court case, it's like a video. You see him, and you know, all the people of the family get to come up and, of course, I'd say probably about 8 other people came up there and screamed and cried.
I hope you live to suffer.
The father of the girl came up and said, basically preached to him and made him cry because he's like, I don't
have
hate
you ever
you.
Seen the Warwick I Dunn video?
Yeah,
the
we what? Played that last week.
Did we play that?
The Warwick Dunn video?
When we're done, we'll play that video.
I'll give you a quick synopsis. He was a young man getting ready to go to college. He's a running back in the state of Louisiana. Right, Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge, yeah. And he
very
was
good.
Going to Florida State.
Going to Florida State. His mom was a police officer, and she was killed by a gunman. And
gunned down. Murdered in cold blood.
Right. We'll show you the video later, but years later, after his football career was over, I mean, ultimately, he was borderline Hall of Famer in the NFL in
yeah,
my
he
mind.
He was
a beast at one
back.
Time. But at one point, he was writing, or he and another person were writing a book. I'm assuming it was like a biography or yeah. whatever. And the man asked him if you ever were able to come face to face with the man who killed your mom, what would you ask him? And he like wasn't ready.
Like stood
for
up and walks out.
He just walked out.
And then he comes back with like
two pages
of
questions.
Stuff written down.
Ultimately, he ends up getting an opportunity to have that happen. He gets to go and sit in front of the man that killed his mom. And he goes through this scenario, and he kind of tells him what it did to him. And he said, but I didn't come here to hate somebody. I came here to forgive somebody. The character of the man's
Dude.
Heart that it took to do that.
Yeah. He tells him, I didn't come here to hate somebody. I came here to forgive somebody. Dude.
That's hard.
It messed him up so bad, like he won't even, like he doesn't even know how to be a husband or a boyfriend or any of that stuff because he'd, like
he doesn't want to lose love twice.
Yeah, he doesn't want to lose love twice. That's his mom was his everything, and yeah. she was taken out.
And I think, you know, some people obviously will take it and be bitter the rest of their lives and or get vengeance. Other people will be like, well, what would my mother want in this moment? Would they want me to kill him? Or,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Vengeance is his.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
It's funny you say that because I watched a story last night on this chick, Amanda Taylor. Her husband was killed by his stepdad, like unintentional overdose. Like he was trying to giving him pills or something, and he dies.
Dang!
And it eats her up so bad, she starts practicing witchcraft. She starts doing all this stuff, and she kills him in cold blood and posts all the murder pics on Facebook.
That's consumed by vengeance.
Dude, right yeah. And she talks this dude into going with her. Like, this is basically her running mate in all this stuff. And they're going to go on, like, a serial killer spree and all this stuff. And she said, oh, that's, like, they're passing this lady. And she's like, oh, that's perfect. That's the one. And she hands him, like, a .357. She says, I'm going to go get her and bring her back to the car. You shoot her in the face. So when she comes back, the dude has the guns hidden, and he won't even roll the window down to talk to that lady. And, you know, she's like, oh, I don't know what's going on with him. Thank you so much for your help. Well, anyways, that lady takes off running again, you know, and jogging or whatever. And she gets in the car with him, and she finds the gun. And she freaking shoots him. And shoots him right here. Like, she the way it showed the video, like the reenactment, she, like, turned her head to keep the splatter from getting on her face. She, like, turned her head. And what she did, she turned just enough and went through his jawline, down through his neck, and hit his, like, his collarbone and ricocheted out the side of his shoulder.
Dang. Didn't kill him.
Didn't kill him. Now, she left him laying there to die.
Messed him up.
Yeah, of course, he was out. She leaves him laying there to die, but then she takes off. Well, she gets lost in the middle of the woods in Tennessee. So she can't figure out where else she's going. So she calls 911.
Ask the bear for help. You seen those?
She calls 911. She tells them who she is. She says that she...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Like, if she sees any cops, she's going to kill herself. But she needs out of the situation she's in. So they ask her, like, well, where are you at? You know, blah. And she's dumb enough to tell them. Well, then they find her. She doesn't do anything. Like, they arrest her, no incident or nothing like that. And they're like, hey, where's this Sean Ball guy that was with you? And she tells him, and they go over there, dude, and he's still alive. But he even got murder because he hit the dude that when she was stabbing the guy, he hit him with a crowbar. So he got 41 years, and he's not even the one for swinging a crowbar. But he was so infatuated with her, he made up all these lies about how he was in the Navy and he's like special ops and all this stuff, like trying to impress her. He's talking about, I've killed people. So she took it. She's like, well, let's go kill somebody then. But that, she swung straight vengeance.
Yeah.
She lost her kid. I mean, like, dude, she just
wigged out. What it reminds me of is that some things are not ours to deal with, right? I think that's the thing.
If you give it all to God, he's going to coach you through that anyways.
At some point, even though, here's the problem. We want to see it, right?
Tangible. And you want it now.
I want to see it, and I want it now. I want to see the vengeance. I want to see the wrath of God come down on this man, woman, child, whatever, that did this thing. I want to see it. I need to see their eyes popping out of their head. I need to see all of it. But that's not up to us, right? At some point, all of that, okay, just because they are forgiven doesn't mean that they don't receive their punishment while they're living.
Sometimes the punishment of being forgiven, the burden of knowing that you were forgiven, like we do something shisty and they're like, man, you know what, I forgive you. That's punishment enough because it's like, you know, like, I'm not mad at you. I'm disappointed.
Oh, that hurts. Let's say
about that dude that killed that dude's daughter. While everyone's belittling him and stuff, he's just sitting there like a hardened thug or whatever. But when the dad walks up and preaches to him about how he forgives him and everything, he started crying.
You know, yeah.
I can imagine that ate him up after that.
Yeah.
The burden of being forgiven, that's something I hadn't considered.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You don't think about
it. It makes... Okay, I just hadn't considered it that way. Like, I understand exactly what you're talking about because I feel that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's a...
You feel like a scumbag.
Yeah. That's a deep, deep thought process to go through. Like, do you really think, though, that God wants you to... that Christ paid the penalty so that we could hang on to the burden? He wants us to just receive it freely, right?
Yeah.
Without cost, without penalty. The cost is letting go of self. What's good for myself? That's the cost, right? So the burden of being forgiven is shame, right?
Guilt, shame.
Guilt, shame. do you not believe that those two things, guilt and shame, are tools of the enemy? Well, the voice inside your head?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at the same time, isn't it kind of a good thing? If someone forgives you, now you feel shame and guilt? Like, if you just didn't care, wouldn't that be worse?
That's a bad sign, yeah, for sure.
So if you were like, damn, I am.
It's like sinning with no shame or sinning with no remorse.
Yeah.
Like, if you ever get comfortable in sinning or in that sin, that's a bad sign. Like, when you sin and you feel guilty and you're, like, ashamed, that means your character is in the right place.
So on some level, what we're saying on some level is being ashamed of yourself is okay. On some level. Now, when you take, again, it goes like anything else, when you take it too far.
You can't live your life in shame.
Sure.
But when you do something you know is wrong and shameful, it's okay to be ashamed.
Yeah. Don't stay ashamed.
You know what's wrong. If you're going to a brothel and meeting up with strange women and you're married or you're the Coldplay Kiss Cam guy.
I saw that. That's everywhere. I saw the thing.
And you know what's wrong? You should feel the same. You know he's suing them now.
He's suing Coldplay?
Well, his wife put out a notice about leaving him and everything.
Oh, yeah. And then they've shown videos of her. She ain't got a wedding ring on no more. I was like, bro.
It's not like they knew you were cheating, dude. They do that to everybody.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So it's like.
You know, had they not acted like that, it probably wouldn't have blown up.
We said that last week. Yeah, you had to do is play it off. But the way that they like ducked down.
Immediately, it was all over everything.
Yeah.
The
lady that recorded that, she had no intentions of ruining anyone's lives. She just said the moment that she saw the reaction, she knew there was other people involved that deserved to know. So it's like, dude, I mean, she kind of has a point.
I mean, seriously. I mean, wouldn't you want to know? And like you were saying, maybe the wife had been praying
for a sign.
Something's not like, right. Something's God, not tell right. Me something's what's not wrong.
Right. You know, this dude's going.
That's one hell of a sign.
Yeah, or it could have been the chick's husband praying for a sign because she's going on all these company ventures and doing all this crazy stuff, and nothing's coming of it. You know.
Yeah. To kind of put a cap on the shame piece of that conversation, and it's kind of it's appropriate because it's something that I've talked a couple times about, like how we're supposed to reflect the character of Christ. Like, we can't be Christ, but not our responsibility, but kind of our goal in life is to be Christ-like and to look like it. Like, we're supposed to be evidence of that. So yes, when you're talking about, can I forgive? Could I? It would be difficult, but I think I could, and it would only be for the purpose of being evidence of Christ and the type of grace that God offers through the blood of Jesus, right? However, feeling shame for things is okay as long as we don't stay in that shame, right? Yeah. But like, I've been struggling with this evidence of Christ thing for a while. I've talked about that. It started with that young man that I work with that came to me and was like, man, I didn't even know you were a follower.
Yeah.
Right? That's roughly a year ago. A year later, I'm still getting accused of the same thing. I got told the other day, I'm nice, but I'm not friendly.
Isn't that the same kid? Didn't we have him on the show?
No, this young man hasn't been on the show. Different kid, different person. Okay. And while you were on vacation in Vegas, I sent you a picture of a fortune cookie.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, well, damn.
Yeah.
And I was like, even my Chinese food is trying to tell me something. And it says, your attitude is a reflection of your values. And I'm sitting over here trying to live this life, and I'm trying to have a Christ-like demeanor, and I'm totally epically failing at it pretty much daily, right? And it just kind of, I feel shame for that. I feel ashamed of the fact that I'm not, as far as I feel like, and if people try to tell me I am on the path, I'm still really, really bad at this. You know what I mean? Yeah. I actually had a young man at work, another young, it had to be at work because I don't interact with people all that much. Another young man at work that was like, man, every time I see you, I think you're mad. So I just try to stay away from you.
That scowl.
You know, you want, let me tell you this, because, you know, me and John work together. And before I say this, I have not been, was it bashful about letting him know how
of course
frustrated.
But he's like your brother, right?
Yeah, so, like, that's how it is for me. Like, my day can be good. I can be happy and everything. But when I get to work, I am royally pissed off all day. I'm not trying to blame it all on him, but, yeah, he does not help it at all. You know what I mean? And I've tried to clarify that to him, and it just don't work. But
that is a commentary on the fact that things around you will influence you, and the people that, that you love actually sometimes.
They piss you off better than anybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Darn it. But they don't make things easy.
Yeah. Then here's the other thing about stuff like that. It's like, then they ask you what the problem is, but when you tell them, you're the ass.
Yeah, that's anybody.
And I was like, dude.
You, MF-er, you're the problem.
And it makes it even worse when they act like they did nothing wrong. Like, okay. If I really have to explain to you, that tells me how oblivious you are. Or better yet, put the shoe on the other foot. Let me do that crap to you all day.
Right. I needed to see if I could share this with you. Of course, now I'm not going to see him because I get no internet service out here on my phone. We've got a couple of comments. Mentioned a couple weeks back that I would start sharing these with you, regardless of who they're from. This one is from episode 80. It says, first of all, I wouldn't look at a lack of response or comments as rejection. We were talking about, like, why we're doing this. Because your ministry is spreading the gospel, of course there will be rejection. However, I see you guys like the voice crying in the wilderness. If that voice goes silent, untold damage is done, whether you know it or not. Just as deliverance happens, whether you know it or not. If yours is the only voice remaining, it is even more necessary and impactful. Though you don't see it yourself, keep speaking. Damn.
Yeah, that's
that was a lot.
Calling you out a little bit.
And then episode 81, we got it. We were talking about, like, how we take two steps forward, one step back, and we always just focus on that one step back. People focus on the one step back. I've made 4,000 steps and 2,000 back, but I've made 2,000 more forward. You know what I mean? So I've come a long way.
You can make 9 steps forward as soon as you take 1 back.
Yeah. Look at this guy. Look at this chump.
Well, think about it like this. If you get an addict.
Yeah.
And he goes 7 years.
Yeah.
Sober.
Yeah.
And one time, one night, in a down moment, he screws up and falls off the wagon. That moment is what everybody remembers. They don't remember the 7 years he was clean.
Right.
And you can go 7 years after that, and they're still going to remember that one. That one right there. Like, oh, yeah, just think. If you hadn't have fallen off the wagon that one time, it'd be 14 straight years.
Yep.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing with everything like that.
I agree. Secondary comment from episode 81, 2 Forward, 1 Back. We were talking about the floods that happened in Central Texas. Yeah. It says, it's unfortunate that things like floods and tornadoes are called acts of God when they are really acts of nature. God leaves nature to its own devices as he does all his creation. But to be sure, he will work all things to good as he always does. Lots more to talk about here, but we don't have room. Love you guys. I believe Camp Wisdom has been there for over 100 years. Talking about the Mystic Camp.
Yeah.
Double check that, though. So.
Yeah, because this shit happened in, like, 1987.
Yeah. It happened again way before that, in the 40s, I believe, or the 20s.
It's
been around for a long time.
Yeah, it's.
My brother is struggling over here.
Struggling to breathe.
We need to close her out.
Struggling to breathe right now.
Ultimately, I think that what I have, like, if I were to give a synopsis of the conversation and, like, what it did to me today, it would be just like, just keep on, man, just keep on, because, like, there's a lot of questions to be had. I don't think that there's anything wrong with having private arguments, quote, quote, with your father.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of like how you've explained that only you can talk to the way you do to grandpa, to anybody. You know,
yeah, don't let me catch somebody else talking to him the way same, I will. I think
it's like the same with me and John. Like I could be the most pissed off I've ever been at him, but if someone else comes at him size, I'm like, man,
who the F are you, bro?
Who are you? But yeah, mm-hmm. I keep wanting to say the F word, but.
Yep. We don't say the F word here.
I cuss like a sailor. Sorry.
How did the bullet lose his job? He was fired.
Oh, yeah.
Ouch!
I was like, it's got to be something dumb. Something just obvious.
Damn it, dude. I'm bad at this. Yeah, so I bad.
Like, I thought it was a trick question. It's like, is he referring to something other than that?
That's what I was thinking. Dang it. Overthunk it. Just like everything else we were talking about. We're going to go Confucius way.
Confucius say,
this is a wisdom one. A great man is hard on himself. A small man is hard on others. Uh-huh. And it just kind of encompassed a lot of what we were kind of
So that's
talking
not
about.
The same Confucius that says man standing on toilet is high on pot?
Same Confucius, baby.
A man is hard on himself.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you say, hard on others?
Small man.
A great
is hard
man
on others.
Is hard on himself. Uh-huh. A small man is hard on others. Meaning, so, go ahead.
What if he's... does both of those things. Would that make him a medium man? I'm just saying. I mean,
probably.
Like ordering a t-shirt and ordering an extra medium.
A medium? Golly. Well, this will be the first episode in a few weeks that we've had that we didn't have video.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Hey, it's okay. It's okay. You're welcome.
Yeah. I just heard that. On the old Alexa when I was walking out here with my waters.
Are you serious?
No, I think it was when I was walking out here the first time. Yeah.
The Moana
soundtrack.
Oh, on. That's what that was. I was playing
on the Alexa.
Yeah. I was like, go through my camera roll. You'll probably not find one selfie. I don't like taking photos. I've taken like progress photos of myself, but not like.
I don't prefer photos of myself, but.
I'll pass on that.
You know, the world says they need video, so we do video.
Oh, I took a selfie because I chipped my tooth with a beer glass while I was in Vegas.
Did you really? You sure did.
Yeah. Hey, and so the next morning I got up, I forgot about it, and I was like,
what happened?
I was rubbing my tongue across my tooth.
You feel a rough edge.
And I was like, dang. And I turned around, and I was like, babe, I think I chipped my tooth last night. And I smiled at her. She goes, you did.
You did. It ain't that bad.
No, it's
bad
enough.
I can't tell.
It's not that bad, but so I took a selfie and I was looking at it and I was standing in Walgreens like that and I was like, dude, when it's all blown up, yes.
It looks like a canyon.
I look like Lloyd Christmas.
But that is a very small
Lloyd Christmas. He
said. Lloyd.
The Lloyd. Oh man. Aiden, I appreciate you coming back. It was fun. It'll be a different content week this week. That's all right. I've had some thoughts on some other stuff anyway, but.
Yeah, sorry to cut y'all short, man. I'm struggling to breathe right now.
We're actually a little longer than usual, so we're good. Hour 15 right now. So.
Sweet.
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 For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm John.
I'm Aiden.
I'm Jason.
Peace.
That's the first time.